most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
And we went over almost every single game, the Duke game in 56 and the Georgia Tech game and the Alabama games and those type things. And it was like he remembered every single play and every single play call. And he was talking about his teammates and, you know, look where Buddy Cruz lined up right there. Watch this cut. I mean, it was one of the greatest football lessons I've ever gotten.
Comments from Bob Kesling talking about John Majors. As we start hour number four of Sports Talk, I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. We look forward to next segment catching up with West High football coach Lamar Brown. But right now, there's a golden attaboy that hangs in the balance. Somebody has the opportunity to showcase their mad trivia skills and shine brightly in the spotlight with the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, what is tonight's question?
John, we've had some back-to-back one-and-done, so we will see if we will continue that trend. But I think this question's a little bit too difficult for that, but I could be proven wrong. All right. Name the head coach-quarterback tandem in the NFL, the top three all-time. The top three all-time tandems for head coaches and quarterbacks in the NFL. I will tell you that the leader is at 324, followed by 215, followed by 197 games. But give me the top three tandems in the NFL as far as head coach and quarterback working together.
Okay, so it's games played?
Yeah, games played with the same coach and quarterback.
All right. So repeat that question one more time.
I don't think I can. All right, which tandem of head coach and quarterback in the NFL were together for the most games?
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. And we will say, since we came back with a comment about Coach Majors, if you didn't get to hear yesterday's program, or if there were only pockets that you were able to listen, so many incredible stories that were shared yesterday, I would encourage, and also on other programs, as so many guests were able to join throughout the day. But just check it out at 991thesportsanimal.com. And we also have a collection of comments and sound bites and things like that that are also available that we look forward to sharing. But we are looking for a guesser tonight on our trivia, 656-9900. And let's go to John. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, Jimmy and John. How y'all doing?
Hey, John.
Doing well. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I want to see Belichick and Brady.
All right, that's number one. Good.
And Chuck Noll and Terry Bradshaw.
Okay.
And Jimmy Johnson and Troy Aikman.
You got one right. You started strong.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, John, great to hear from you. Thank you very much. Let's go next to Al. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Al.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
The trivia question, top quarterback and coach combos, I'll go Belichick and Brady.
All right.
Roger Staubach and Tom Landry.
Yep.
And Don Shula and Marino.
You got two out of three. You started strong and you finished strong. Your middle guess was incorrect, but you got two out of three.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks.
Thank you.
And we sure do appreciate it. Let's go next to Mark. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. Let's go with Belichick and Brady, Marino and Shula. How about Bud Grant and Fran Tarkenton?
You got two out of three. You started strong.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. You have a great night. We sure do appreciate it, Mark. Let's go to David. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, David. Actually, let's go to Jared. Hi, Jared. How are you?
Hey. Let's go with Belichick and Brady, Don Shula, Shula and Marino, and what about Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin?
You got two out of three. Your last guess was a good guess, and it's pretty close, but it is not the answer.
Okay.
Good try, though. Two out of three.
Yeah. Have a great night. We sure do appreciate it. Jimmy, repeat the question, if you would.
Name the quarterback head coach tandem that has played the most games in the NFL. We're looking for the top three tandems of a head coach and a quarterback playing the most games together in the NFL.
It's John who's up next. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, and yourself?
Good, thanks. Marino and Shula, Brady, Belichick, and I'll go Walsh and Montana.
It is not Walsh and Montana. It's a good guess, but it is not that. It's not that one. And at some point, Steve Young snuck in there, and I think took away the possibility for them to be in this top three. But you got two out of three.
We sure do appreciate it. Let's go next to Hank. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Hank.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Fine. Good, yourself?
Good. Let's try Belichick, Brady, Shula, Marino, and Manning, Dungy.
You got two out of three. Your last guess was not correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hank, thank you very much. Let's try Philip. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Philip.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to start off with Brett Favre and Holmgren, Brady, Belichick, and Shula, and Landry. Shula and Marino, sorry.
Two out of three. It's not Favre and Holmgren.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. We sure do appreciate it, Philip. Let's try Rick. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Rick.
What's going on, guys?
Doing all right, and yourself?
Doing great. Let's give it a shot. I'm going to go way back and say Walt Kessling with Unitas, Shula with Marino, and Belichick with Brady.
You got two out of three. It is not the Unitas combination.
All right, thanks.
Nothing wrong with taking a shot, though. Rick, we sure do appreciate it. It's Rodney who's up next. Hello, Rodney.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'm going to guess Marino and Shula, of course.
And?
Belichick and Brady.
Uh-huh.
And how about Plunkett?
How about Plunkett and Madden?
It is not Plunkett and Madden. And we do not have to go back nearly that far. We don't have to go back far at all. But that is, you got two out of three.
We sure do appreciate it, Rodney. Let's go next to Kenny. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Kenny.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine, yourself?
Does anybody guess? I'm doing good. Does anybody guess Noel and Chuck Noel and Bradshaw and Marino and Shula and Brady and Belichick?
Yeah, it's not Noel and Bradshaw. Somebody did guess that, but that is not correct.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Kenny. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Kenny. Actually, let's go to Tim. Hello, Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Doing great. All right, guys. Belichick, Brady, Shula, Marino, and how about let's go a little back, but Star and Lombardi.
No, you don't have to go back. It is not Star and Lombardi, but you don't have to go back hardly at all. I mean, it is very, 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 very recent.
We sure do appreciate it. Have a great night. It's Joe that's up next. Hello, Joe.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Brady and Belichick, Marino and Shula. How about Joe Montana and 49ers. What's his name from the 49ers? I can't remember. Montana and the black-haired fella from the 49ers coach. God, I can't remember his name.
It's not Montana. You're talking either about Walsh or Seifert, but it's neither one.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that.
That's all right. We sure do appreciate it. Have a great night. Let's try Ryan. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I think everybody's just guessing at him now. How about, well, of course, Brady, Belichick, Shula, Marino, and I was thinking maybe Shanahan Elway?
No, it's not Shanahan Elway.
All right, appreciate it.
I'm kind of surprised at this. It's an active combination.
Uh-huh.
That was my hint about don't go back very far. It's active.
Gotcha.
That's the one we're missing.
Well, let's try Rob. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Rob.
Yeah, I'm surprised too that they have a guest Breeze and Peyton in addition to Marino and Shula and Belichick and Brady.
That's it. Yeah, you got it. So Brady, Belichick, 324 games. Peyton and Breeze, 215. Shula and Marino, 197. So those are the three quarterback tandems in the NFL that have been together the longest, the most games. Hey, Rob, congratulations. You nailed it.
Outstanding work. And we celebrate Rob as tonight he now has possession forever of a golden attaboy, and we invite him now to hang on and enjoy his audio reward.
I am the smartest man alive!
I'm a winner.
As chairman of the welcoming committee, it is my privilege to extend a laurel and hearty handshake.
Yes! Yes!
That's how winning is done.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
Yahoo!
And they stay there.
And so tonight we celebrate Rob, the winner of our Sports Fix at 6. And we will have another trivia challenge for you tomorrow night when we start hour number 4 of Sports Talk. We'll get a break when we return. Lamar Brown, the head coach at West High, will join us to talk about his team being back on the practice field. That's next as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we are pleased to be joined via the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, the head coach of the West Rebels, Lamar Brown. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, and I would imagine on a warm day like today, it's got to be something to be taking a step in the right direction towards normalcy, to be working out with your team. What has it been like to get back on the field to some degree?
Oh, it's been great. It's been really good for the kids and coaches getting to see each other. We was apart for about 2 months with no contact, and just getting back together, the kids was really excited as well as the coaches.
Well, it's been something to see, and tell me, it was such a shame that the senior year for so many just students, let alone student-athletes, that didn't get to compete in their respective seasons. But what was this past year academically like when the curtain fell in March?
Oh, it's been crazy ever since March. Didn't have any – teachers did a little bit of stuff online and trying to get kids to get finished up, and the kids handled that stuff pretty well. But just missing the kids, not getting to see them – that was the hardest thing of it all.
Coach, were you able to do testing for those that have returned to workouts?
We have not tested. We've got some things that we do. We take temperatures every day before they enter the field as they check in. We give them hand sanitizer, and we've got it spread out throughout the field. We use chlor. We took it real slow. The first 2 days, we started on May 26th, and that week we just stayed outside. Went Tuesday and Thursday. This week we've went 3 days, and we went into the weight room. Each kid's been in the weight room for about 10 minutes each day, just doing one station in the weight room, just so they can get used to cleaning equipment. And doing that, we didn't go in the weight room at first because when you're dealing with teenagers as a coaching staff, we felt the hardest thing to do was going to be the social distancing, because that's that's really not who we are as a football team. We're a bunch of huggers and everything else. So that was going to be hard. And so we wanted the kids to get used to that. Then this week, get used to cleaning some equipment. We're going to go into the weight room probably for about 30 minutes a day next week, row groups in there, and try that out. We did start throwing and catching the end of last week just so they could get used to keeping the ball clean.
So as far as the social distancing, what are you doing? You're trying to stay 6 feet apart, which can be very difficult for a football team.
We are staying 6 feet apart. And like I said, the only thing we're doing is basically some agility stuff on the field, doing a little bit of conditioning. And the kids that have done well with it, that they've really focused on it. I was really proud of my coaching staff because they have made it a focal point to coach social distancing right now, because it's like I told the kids, the way we handle this situation now is going to determine whether we have a season or not. So they've done a really good job with it.
You mentioned the temperature checks. Have you had anybody that had a temperature that was above what you would want?
No. We've not even been close. We set the cutoff at 100 degrees, and mm-hmm. and we've not even been close to it.
Okay.
Coach, did you would you ever have imagined having to practice like this and go through circumstances as you and other area teams are having to deal with, I guess, essentially across the country?
No, this is something I never dreamed I would be doing, taking temperatures before kids come in and everything. But that's where we are. We have to adjust and adapt. But I think most football coaches are really good at that. We went through the whatever it was 7-8 years ago, all the concussion concussions in the media was putting out, and I think the coaches did a really good job. I know we changed the way we tackle. We don't have a lot of contact in practice now, so we adjusted and adapted to that. I think coaches will be able to adjust and adapt to this.
As you talked about taking it slow and kind of warming up to this, what have you set in terms of the plan for when you get to, when will you be able to take that next step and, I guess, get closer to a regular/normal practice?
Well, we're waiting on to see what happens with any new Knox County guidelines from the health department, and those will come down through the school. But really, I don't plan. I'm hoping that it gets close to being back to normal after we get back from the dead period. That I will feel comfortable putting a helmet on kids and going out and doing some type of something that looks like football practice anyway after mm-hmm. the dead period is what I'm hoping for.
Our guest, Lamar Brown, head coach, West High School. Coach, as far as conditioning, did you find that you had players at all different levels of conditioning?
Yes, we do. We've got, and it's kind of what we expected. We've got kids that, you can tell that they've been doing some work during the 2 months off. We sent out basically a body workout and some conditioning every day to our kids. And you can tell that a lot of the kids did that. And you've got a few that you can tell probably slept all day and watched TV and played video games.
My kind of workout.
Yeah.
As far as the dead period is concerned, I know at least one state has said we're not going to have a dead period. We think that there's been enough time off for the athletes. Do you support a dead period, or would you rather not have one?
Well, I think we have one for a reason. I know TWSWA looked at that today, and that was a little frustrating with me. The first thing the TWSWA came out and said when they addressed this situation was, we're going to go by the calendar. And the dead period is one of the number one questions I get asked about from parents, so they can go on vacation and do some stuff. And, then they're going back and looking at it basically about a week, 2 weeks before the dead period. I really didn't understand that, but I'm actually for a 2 week dead period as soon as school's out. I know that's a little bit harder to enforce because all all school systems are out. We used to, before the dead period, I used to give the kids the first 2 weeks of school off because everybody's excited to be out of school, teachers and players. But when they went to the dead period, we can't really do that anymore. So that would be what I would vote for, but I know there's not going to be many people vote for that.
Do you find that a lot of your players and their families will be going on vacation during that dead period that they had already planned for that?
Yes, and then, you know, that was what we was trying to put together, a plan that if they did change it, what we is going to do. I mean, the first week of dead period, I have a vacation planned, and I know a lot of our kids have vacation plans. If they did change it, we is going to have some coaches there each week, and the ones that could come in could come in.
Coach, your team last year played 14 games, made it all the way to the state semifinals of 5A football. What do you think about the team that you return as you prepare for the 2020 campaign?
Well, we've got a lot of holes to fill, but we have a lot of players coming back. Also, we lost some really good players. You know, it's really hard to tell right now. You know, we haven't seen them for 2 weeks. We're just hoping to get some of our questions answered in the spring, and, you know, we missed that opportunity because we missed spring practice. So that process is going to have to speed up a little bit for us come July, and we've got to start getting that figured out. But I really like where this football team's at. They're working really hard, that they're a fun group to coach, and they carry, they're carrying and building a lot of the stuff that team last year did. They're building up on it.
Well, as you mentioned, you did say goodbye to great talent as well as leadership, but also to have the success that you guys had, just one loss in the regular season, and you played every game you could with the exception of one, and that would be the title game. What does that do in terms of lighting the fire for what was a very unique situation where you had a lot of guys that was up to them to get the job done as they work out or just stay as fit as they can during the unique time where there was no school?
Well, we have a lot of kids that are still upset about the central life. I think it has really pushed a lot of them through this time. That was a loss that really hurt. And they've carried that hurt with them. And it seems like, you know, we have a little chip on their shoulder, and it seems like there's some people doubting how good we're going to be. And I think our kids like that stuff, that they like to take it and run with it. And so it's been, you know, the first 2 weeks of workouts have been really good. I mean, we've got 100-something players out, and they're working really hard and trying to get through the day. And it's been tough on them because no matter who you are, if you're doing a workout at home, you don't have the motivations of your friends and your teammates pushing you, and you probably don't push as hard as you do when you're in a football weight room environment. So they're trying to get back in shape and get that stuff. But like I said earlier, this is a great group of guys that are really fun to coach.
What has it been like to work with your staff to formulate a plan and just kind of get at least to this point in trying to get a step in the right direction as far as getting ready for the season?
Well, my staff's really unique. You know, about half of the staff was at West High School when I got there, and I brought or hired the other half of the staff. And my coaching staff, they're my best friends, and it's a very unique situation where, you know, we really do love and care about each other, and I think it carries over to the kids. But, you know, it gave me a good group of guys to really lean on through this, because, you know, there for a little while, we're trying to figure it out. And instead of me having to sit down and figure it out by myself, I've got 10 other guys that I can lean on. And my assistant coaches had some great thoughts on what we need to be doing and how we need to be doing it. And, they've helped lead us through this situation, and it's been really fun. You know, it energizes you a little bit because you're dealing with something you've never dealt with before. So you're having to do a lot of research and trying to figure it out on the run.
We've, of course, seen college coaches do a lot of Zoom meetings and virtual meeting rooms and things like that.
how have you stayed in touch with your players or tried to maintain contact?
Well, we've communicated with them every day. We have a message board on our mind, and we communicated with them every day. We did not do any Zoom meetings with the players. The coaches had a few Zoom meetings trying to get everything together. But, you know, a lot of those coaches will put up their Zoom meetings with their players posted on Twitter, and three quarters of the players have the screen blacked out, don't have the camera on. So I don't really know how you know who's listening and who's not. We talked about it as a staff, and we thought there might be a time that, we may have to have Zoom meetings, but we didn't think we got to that time where it was necessary for us to have one. But, you know, one thing I have thought about is because we have so many players and right now we're not able to get them in a room together, when we get back after the dead period, we're probably gonna do some of our installation on Zoom meetings and meet with the players later in the evening to plan the next day's practice.
Okay. And tell me, do you have many guys that perhaps were coming back off an injury or anything? How healthy are the Rebels at this point in time of the summer?
No, we're really healthy. One of our best football players didn't even play a snap last year, Noah Geiger. He got hurt in our last scrimmage, he's been cleared, and he's back to work now. We're really excited to have him back, but overall, we're a pretty healthy bunch, and we as a bunch that we were banged up at the end of last year, trying to get through the season, and we had a lot of guys that was playing hurt, and they fought through it, but they've had time to heal, and in one aspect of it, you know, that 2 months off may have been good for a lot of our kids that were trying to get back healthy.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate an insight into what it's been like to get back on the practice field, what you've been able to do with practice, and here's hoping that there aren't any setbacks along the way, that all of high school football can march along with other sports towards the direction of getting ready for a season that starts on time. But thank you for sharing your thoughts and insights, and, Coach, good luck. We look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That's Lamar Brown, head coach at West High, the Football Rebels. We'll get a break and be back with more as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
93 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go home!
They don't have any respect for you. Make them remember you as long as they live. The way you hit, and the way you knock them downfield, and the way we hustle. Attack, attack, attack. Always attack.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. 656-9900 is how you join us. 656-9900.
Tennessee had sort of a town hall yesterday, and we want to bring you some comments that derive from that. And we'll start with Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee's head football coach. Of course, one of the hot topics going on right now, racial injustice. And so Pruitt talked about addressing that topic with his team. Here's Jeremy Pruitt.
And I'd just like to quickly address what's going on in our country right
now. Well, you know, we addressed it last Friday. We had a Zoom call, and just talk to the team. And, you know, one of the things that I like to talk about things, and I like to put it out there. And, I don't know how you can't be angry right now at what's going on in our country. If you're not angry, then something's probably wrong with you. If you just watch the news every week, there's been senseless murders across our country over the last 2 or 3 months. And, you know, it's not like this is something that, just started happening. It's been going on for a long time, and I said it the other day, the young people are ticked off, the old people are mad, the black people are mad, the white people are mad, everybody's mad. I was talking to my dad about it, and you know, I just told him, I said, I'm glad my grandfather's not alive to see this. But it's something that we've got to use our platform at Tennessee, and something our players have passion about, and the coaches on our staff. And, you know, we've actually today, Coach T. Martin is going to head up a group within our program. And so we can come up with ideas and we can be progressive, and maybe we can set the standard to UT and on what change is supposed to look like.
That is Jeremy Pruitt. Also, Rick Barnes, Tennessee's head basketball coach, also talks on the topic of racial inequality.
That I'd just like to quickly address what's going on in our country right now. And so it's really sad to see how so many people are hurting right now. And when you think about what we're going through as a nation right now, and I think about where it hits home personally, where I have two beautiful adopted grandchildren, black grandchildren that I don't know where I would be in my life without them right now. And it scares me to think about where and what they're going to have to grow up with and deal with. And it goes back to when we talk to them about it, we just simply say what the Bible tells us to talk about, where where God said, you know, you love your neighbor like yourself. And I just would love to see our nation really embrace change of heart, and that we all can love each other the way that God created us to love each other.
And those are comments from Rick Barnes. Going back to Jeremy Pruitt, he talks about John Majors, the late great coach at the University of Tennessee, great player as well. He passed away yesterday morning. Here's Jeremy Pruitt on John Majors.
Well, I tell you, the first time I met Coach Majors, I was setting up in my office, and I was trying to think of the date of when it was exactly. They told me I'm thinking it was probably the first February, and it was right after recruiting season, and it was probably early evening, and Coach Majors comes and sees me, and he sits down, and we're sitting across from each other, and you know, he's just talking about Tennessee, and you could just feel his passion, and about college football. And you know, we sat there and talked for about an hour, and toward the end of the conversation, he asked me to lean forward. And so I kind of moved a little bit. He said, no. He goes, I want you to get on the edge of your seat. So I scooted up there to the edge of my seat. And he said, now I want you to lean forward. So I really leaned in toward Coach Majors, and he leaned in toward me. You know, we wasn't but about 3 or 4 inches apart there, and I'm thinking, what are we doing here? I hope nobody walks in this room. And we sat that way for about 10 seconds, and then he kind of leaned back. He said, I just needed to look in your eyes. He goes, we're going to be fine. So that was the first time I met Coach Majors, and he left an impression on me for sure.
Maybe that's been the success for Pruitt, is the eyes in recruiting. Maybe that's what he's doing. Well, let's see what he says about that. Here's Jeremy Pruitt on his recruiting success.
Well, you have to give credit to, you know, Danny Stiff and the guys in our recruiting department, you know, really laying out a really good plan for this pandemic, really kind of virtual recruiting. And you know, our coaching staff and everybody involved within our university being involved in recruiting. You know, it's not just the coaches. It's everybody. It's everybody that touches our program. It's everybody across campus, academics, the professors. You know, we use everybody to help us in recruiting. And probably the most important part is our players, and they've really done an outstanding job. When you believe in something and you have passion about it, it's easy to sell, and it's something that you like to talk about. And you can't fool anybody. I mean, when you sit there and have a conversation with somebody, they know if it's real or not real. And the young men on our team, they're excited about the direction of our program, and they enjoy being around each other and enjoy being around the people within our program, and it shows.
Also from Jeremy Pruitt, he talks about what freshmen might be able to play right away.
No, I don't think so. You know, historically, you know, there used to not be any mid-year guys. Everybody came during the summer. And lots of times, it hadn't been that long ago that they didn't report until August. So we've got really good teachers on our staff. They've got great teaching progressions. The way we install, the way we teach concepts, I don't see any problem with a young guy being, or, you know, having the opportunity and the knowledge to be able to step in and compete right away.
Those are comments from Jeremy Pruitt. Want to bring you this too, and I can't wait to hear it. I've not heard what they've had to say, but individually I've heard different stories being told about this. So here's Johnny Majors and Gus Manning talking about the Heisman Trophy in 2016. And, of course, that's about Majors not winning it back in 1956 as he finished runner-up to Paul Hornung of Notre Dame. Here's Johnny Majors and Gus Manning.
I don't remember being a front runner for the Heisman, but I know I was a candidate. Yes, I was some of the top people, maybe a handful of us, including Jim Brown, one of the greatest players of all time at Syracuse, and Tommy McDonald. He and I were unanimous All-Americans our last year. Paul Hornung was a great player, a junior at Notre Dame, but he was a senior my senior year. They were 2-8. We were 10-0. He won the Heisman. I was second in the closest voting in history at that time. And it's the only player in history, and he is very deserving as a player, great player. He's the only player in history that won it on a losing team. And Hornings, I've had a little fun with that. The Heisman will be 81 years old this coming fall. Horning and I were born in 1935, the year the Heisman started. He's the only one that's won it in those 80 years at this point. But I've seen him a few times, and now, Gus, what about the Kentucky Derby? What did you say about the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I remember how cheap you were up at the Kentucky Derby. You never buy Haywood and me a mint julep. You always sitting up there with your friends in the box seats, and you didn't give us a ticket. We had other ways of getting in there. But anyway, you were there, and
Hornung.
Paul Hornung.
He's from Louisville, you know.
He's a Louisville boy.
He likes to bet.
He was a good Catholic boy, and he always bought Haywood and me a mint julep at the Derby, something that you never did do.
I was at a great disadvantage. Gus is an Irish Catholic. Hornung went to a Catholic school. Now, I say this in lightness. I would never want to take anything away from Paul and Hornung. But Hornung came down to interview me. We played Notre Dame here in 79, my third year back at home. And well, we were getting better, and he came down. He did a TV show for many years. He came down and interviewed me after practice, and I had my practice togs on, my whistle and my sweatshirt, and after the game, he's talking about the Notre Dame game here that's coming Saturday, and we talked about it, very serious stuff, and all of a sudden, Jim Brown was fifth, Tommy McDonald and Jerry Tubbs, teammates, were tied for third and fourth, and I was second. So at the end, he says, "Now, John, tell everybody out there in TV land, you really thought you, all those thousands of people listening to us or seeing us, you really thought you should win the Heisman rather than Paul Hornung, right?" Put the microphone. Well, he zinged me. I said, "No, Paul, I thought Jim Brown should have won it." So he got me, I got him back.
That's Johnny Majors and Gus Manning talking about Majors not winning the Heisman back in 1956.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Name a more iconic duo than the Budweiser Studios and Cumulus Broadcasting.
It's all right.
I'll wait. This is Sports Radio, WNML.
The final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Himes.
Let's now hear more from John Majors, and we have talked about this a little bit, but here's John Majors, his pregame speech as Tennessee prepared to play Miami for the 1986 Sugar Bowl.
You know, somebody might say, "Well, the fun's over, now let's get down to business." Well, let's hope the fun is just starting. And the only way for fun to start is for us to keep our minds on our business
and play like the Tennessee Volunteers Southeastern Conference champions know how to play. And that's good enough to beat anybody and everybody on any given day. You know that, and I know that. First 5 minutes of the game. These are things that got us where we are. First 5 minutes. Poise at all times, whether we are ahead, tied, or behind. Discipline. Intimidation factor. I want to reiterate that again. They don't have any respect for you. Make them remember you as long as they live. The way you hit, and the way you knock them down downfield, and the way we hustle. Attack, attack, attack. Always attack. And by all means, have fun. What's it all about? You don't have a good time out there. Let's repeat our game maxims. Number one, the team making the fewest mistakes will win. That's what got us where we are. Being the best disciplined football team in the United States. We've had fewer turnovers compared to our opponents more than anybody else in the nation. Number two, play far and make the plays.
When one comes our way, score.
The turnover ratio. Opportunistic football. Capitalizing on our breaks. Number three, if at first the game breaks go against us, don't let up, put on more steam. I watched Michigan against Nebraska. They got down 14-3 at halftime. They came back and whipped them good. Scored 26 points in the third quarter. Keep your poise. Number four, Isty, ball, cover, cut and slice on offense, pursue and gang tackle on defense. This is a winning edge. It's been the winning edge 11 weeks to get you to the championship. On your journey, a team of destiny. Five, protect our kickers and passes. Keep our heads in the game at all times and play smart football all night long. People in the game, listen to the calls. People on the sideline, being alert for substitutions, kicking situations, managers, trainers, coaches, everybody. Six, press the kicking game,
for here's where the breaks are made.
We must and we will win the kicking game because we are better at it if we play like we practice. Seven, carry the five to Miami and keep it there for 60 minutes. Everybody on 1 knee, touch somebody. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, you got 2 or 3 minutes here, be a four. Relax, find what you're going to do. Let's go out there to win a ball game. It's the last one for our seniors. It's the last one for this team together. It's the first one of 1986.
John Major's pregame speech, 1986, before Tennessee played Miami in the Sugar Bowl. And by the way, Tennessee did not give up a touchdown on the first play to Miami on a bomb. What happened was Miami drove down the field. They're on the 43-yard line of Tennessee and had a fake punt that went for about 25 yards, and then Testaverde threw a touchdown pass on the next play. So Miami did score first, but it wasn't a first play of the game bomb. So anyway, John Major's speech, wanted to bring that to you. Tennessee's got a decommit, a defensive back. Athlete named Nate Evans. He is out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. He was committed to Tennessee for almost 7 months. He committed November the 10th. He was rated the number 58 cornerback in the country, the number 21 player in Virginia, the number 736 prospect in the country. I don't know if Tennessee backed off of him. I don't know all the what led to the decommit. But he is committed to North Carolina State. Sometimes what you do is if you're not sure about a prospect, you got to commit, you kind of ignore him. You don't call him, you don't check in with him, and he gets the message. But again, I don't know if that's what happened. I will tell you that Tennessee's got four other defensive back commits. Kamar Wilcoxon, Deshaun Rucker, Jay Jones, Edwin White. And so anyway, Nate Evans, Virginia Beach, Virginia, decommitting from Tennessee, committing to NC State. Tennessee now with 23 commitments for the class of 2021.
And now Vince can update his blog about decommits.
Yeah, there you go. That might be a constant deal that he's working with.
Well, and I mean, not to make light of it, but when you have this many commits, and I mean, we're still a long way from December, and that's assuming that we stay with the same recruiting calendar that we've had. Don't know if that gets changed at all with this particular year or not. It could very well not change one bit, and it be roughly the week before Christmas.
Well, and Tennessee, two of the years under Pruitt, they've had 12 decommits for a variety of reasons. I would expect a handful of them from this group. Who knows how many, but I would expect a few. So we'll see what happens.
Jimmy, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great night, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, John. You have a great evening as well.
Sure to appreciate all of our guests. We say thanks to Sam and Ben. This is Sports Talk.